This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics. Nobody spoke to the culture and the soul the way Dr. Kennedy did, and available now as we continue his legacy is the new improved Impact Magazine and Devotional from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This glossy full-color magazine features thought-provoking articles, great biblical resources, and daily devotional truth from Dr. D. James Kennedy, delivered right to your mailbox each month. Feed your soul and impact the culture with the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and a biblically informed view of the world. For your free trial subscription to the new Impact Magazine and Devotional, simply call, write, or visit us online.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Cassidy. America's Constitution has given us the freest nation on the face of the earth. But sadly, those freedoms are being chipped away at day by day as our own government often ignores the Constitution and the power of the federal government grows out of control.
The First Amendment was designed to protect religious people from the government, and yet today that's turned upside down or ignored altogether. On today's program, we'll bring you a special alert about a government threat to Christians and conservatives as the Internal Revenue Service has been used as a weapon against those who disagree with the powerful in Washington. And we'll also give you an opportunity to take a stand and join us in doing something about it.
And as we begin today's program, my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, will help us see how we've gone so far astray from the original understanding of God's role in America, and shows us the road back in his classic message, Church and State.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We will begin our reading with verse 15. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And may God, by his Spirit who inspired the writing of these words, inspire and illumine them to our hearts this day. And may his name ever be praised. Amen. One of the issues which most troubles and perplexes the national life today is the issue of church and state. Never before has there been so much controversy about this matter. We are all aware of the fact that the First Amendment declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, what exactly does that mean? Today, we have been moving in a direction which attempts to say that that means that religion is to have no part in the national life of this country. Now, it is vitally important for us to realize that the very foundation of America was built upon the concept that we had been created by God and given by God certain inalienable rights, and that governments were instituted merely to protect those rights which came from God. Now, if we get rid of the concept of inalienable rights given by God, then we lose the very foundation of our liberties which were established in the Declaration. And that is why that the evolutionary teaching of our time is so dangerous to the basic liberties that we enjoy. Do you not see that if man has not been created by God, if rather he merely evolved by some concatenation of amino acids and molecules in an ancient sea, then he has no inalienable rights. The only rights which he has are those rights which government may see fit to grant unto him, and those rights which are granted by government may be withdrawn at their pleasure. And that is precisely the situation that exists in every atheistic, communistic nation in the world today. My friends, without a belief in a creator, there are no absolute and inalienable rights. Therefore, every school classroom which is undermining the concept of creation is indeed undermining the basis of our liberties and our rights. Is it not ironic, if not tragic, that in a nation brought into existence by the Declaration of Independence, that in this very nation, in its public schools, that we cannot even teach students that they were created at all? I should think that it would be illegal, with the present understanding of things, even to read the Declaration of Independence in our public schools. If they were consistent, it would be. But the obvious ludicrousness of such a position keeps them from going to that extreme. If you were to examine the various national buildings and monuments in the capital of this country, you would find unimpeachable evidence of the official commitment of this land to a belief in the living God, in His holy word, and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in evidence of that statement, let us look first at the magnificent Capitol building, whose dome rises high over the skyline of Washington. The cornerstone was laid by George Washington himself. And later, a box containing a number of documents was inserted, including a manuscript in the handwriting of Daniel Webster, that famous Secretary of State of the United States, which concluded with these words, quote, "And all here assembled, whether belonging to public life or to private life, with hearts devotedly thankful to Almighty God for the preservation of the liberty and happiness of this country, unite in sincere and fervent prayers that this deposit and the walls and arches, the domes and towers, the columns and entablatures now to be erected over it may endure forever. God save the United States of America." These are the words that are contained in the cornerstone of the Capitol building of America in Washington. And if you were to enter the Capitol building and go into the House of Representatives and look above the chair where that one who presides over the House sits, you would find in large words etched in the marble our official national motto, approved by the Senate and the House of Representatives: "In God we trust." Go then to that monument which rises some 600 plus feet into the air, high over the District of Columbia, the tallest building in our nation's capital. It is the monument which was dedicated to the first president of these United States, the Washington Monument. And if you were to climb the stairs of that monument, you would find the following words inscribed: God and our native land, the memory of the just is blessed. Proverbs 10:7. Search the scriptures, holiness to the Lord. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In God we trust. May heaven to this union continue its beneficence. And if you were finally to arrive at the very peak of that monument, you would read on the metal cap these words engraved: Praise be to God. In 1929, the communists issued a protocol. And in that protocol, which described various ways in which they were to bring about the destruction of America, they said that the concept of separation of church and state should be pushed to the extremist position, that all religion should be removed as the underpinning for government of this nation, in order that eventually, having grown weak and flabby and convictionless and fearful, this government might fall. Indeed, we have come a long way along that path. And there are organizations today of atheists and other unbelievers and separatists who would try to do exactly what the communists ordered in that protocol, to get rid of every vestige of religion, to push the idea of the separation of church and state, which of course is not found in the Constitution. That was taken from a private letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists in 1802, which was 11 years after the First Amendment was passed, and it does not represent accurately what the First Amendment says. And therefore, they want to push this to the extreme position and get rid of all of the Christian and religious foundations of this country. I am sure that if the people for the American way, so-called, were the ones who were founding this country today, that not one single such sentiment that I have mentioned to you today would be found in our national heritage. And yet these people do not, let me say it again, do not represent the American way. They represent a total departure from the historic American way, clearly indicated by all of the documents and evenly officially stated by the Supreme Court of this land. Let us not be deceived any further by them. I believe that the time is long past for Christians to stand on their feet and say, thus far and no farther. We have had enough with this. We can no longer allow such movements as these to reduce this godly nation to a secularist, atheistic, humanistic state where ultimate freedoms and rights are reduced to nothing more than the whim of the government to either grant or to withdraw. My friends, we need to lift up our voices, to make ourselves heard, to declare our position. I would urge that many of you will get a copy of this documentary evidence which I have given today, and that you will begin to spread that out. People in America need to know the truth. I've given you documentary evidence which is incontrovertible, and I hope that you will spread this out, that as many Americans as possible may understand something of the godly and Christian foundations of this country. God grant that we have not become so weak, so vacillating, and so fearful that we do not have the courage to take a stand for God and this nation's freedoms and our religious liberty and the truth. God grant us the courage to take a stand while we still have a place to stand. May we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the good and gracious men who came to this land and, having left all behind them in Europe, founded a new nation, a nation under God, who came that the gospel of Jesus Christ might have free sway in the hearts and lives of men, that there might be a city set on a hill, a city where men and women might enjoy the freedom to worship, to serve Thee, and to create a nation of freedom and liberty, which all the world might admire and emulate. Grant that this may so be, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Would the great patriots who founded America even recognize today's America? They clearly believed God had guided the birth of this nation and were outspoken in their dependence on God. Now the First Amendment has been twisted to mean that there must be an absolute separation of God and government. Even worse, government power is being used to attack Christians, among others. Here's our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb and John Rabe to discuss the government's recent weapon of choice against religious liberty, the IRS.
In recent years, the Internal Revenue Service has been accused of partisanship. For example, in August 2010, they began to target Tea Party groups applying for tax-exempt status.
In January 2012, a hotly contested election year, the IRS continued to flag applications denoting a conservative agenda. They used the term BOLO, as in be on the lookout, for terms such as Tea Party or Patriots or other conservative identifiers.
In May 2013, Lois Lerner, an official at the center of the IRS scandal, admitted that indeed some organizations had been targeted by the IRS based on their beliefs. She retired shortly thereafter. Since then, thousands of critical internal IRS emails have gone missing. To help us unpack all this, John Rabe joins me. John, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
So what do you think is the magnitude of this scandal?
It's really been amazing that the mainstream media has undersold it the way that they have, because you have the IRS targeting groups based on their ideology for whether or not they will get tax exemptions. And if they decide that you're too conservative, if you're too religious, they were withholding the proper tax exemptions and even not letting you go through the procedure. To use the IRS as a political tool like that, that's something that even the Nixon administration was never shown to be doing. It's a scandal of massive proportions, and yet, unfortunately, in this country, we no longer seem to have the means to discern between a real scandal and a false scandal. Our television is so filled with the Kardashians and Bruce Jenner and whatever the celebrity scandal of the day is, that stuff like this gets stuck on page 18, and it's huge.
And yet President Obama says this is a phony scandal. He's used that very term.
And, of course, that's the typical defense against this sort of thing. Oh, it's just a partisan witch hunt. It's no big deal. What's happened here? There's nothing to see here, folks. As you mentioned in the introduction, though, it's very convenient that somehow Lois Lerner, who's at the center of this scandal, who ran the division of the IRS that was in charge of handing out these tax exemptions, that she was targeting groups. And, oh, by the way, thousands and thousands of her emails are lost, and we can't find the hard drives, and they've all disappeared. That's something that has become a familiar theme, I would think, in the news recently. It's very convenient when suddenly all these emails go missing that could give us insight on one of these scandals.
Well, let's take a moment and look at the president himself describing this so-called phony scandal, with a commentary followed afterwards by Steve Forbes.
You're saying no corruption. None.
There were some boneheaded decisions.
But no mass corruption.
Not even mass corruption. Not even a smidgen of corruption.
Okay.
Well, the IRS scandal is one of the worst in American history. Here you have the most feared agency of government because it goes right into your own financial records down to the minutest detail, using their powers to crush political opposition in this country, like it's a third world country. And so to call this a phony scandal when you don't even investigate the thing, you do everything you can to block the thing, is a true outrage.
That is so true. The founders of this country wanted to see and give us robust debate, political debate, religious debate, so we could discuss these things and let them flow in the marketplace of ideas.
Exactly. The Constitution is there to protect us from the government and to give us freedom. And that so-called wall of separation, which we get the phrase from Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association, it's been wildly misused. But what he was doing with that phrase was assuring the Baptists that the government will not interfere with your religion. It will not interfere with your viewpoint. What we now see happening is exactly the opposite. We see the IRS being used to target those who have an unapproved viewpoint and saying, no, you can't have your tax exemption.
Is religious freedom in any way at risk because of this IRS scandal? Here's Todd Starnes of Fox News.
This IRS thing is really troubling because, quite frankly, it seems to me this administration was using the Internal Revenue Service to wage war on their enemies. The Tea Party conservatives, and then, of course, many of the Christian organizations that they targeted. I tell people that, my goodness, they audited Billy Graham, America's pastor, for goodness sakes. If they audited Billy Graham, the rest of us, there's no hope for.
Billy Graham getting audited. I don't think your average Christian knew that.
No, I don't think so. And I think, Jerry, we've become too passive, perhaps, as Christians. We've come to expect that the federal government is going to take control of everything and that the IRS is going to have access to everything. And so we end up being sort of passive about this.
Well, now, we are obliged in Scripture, Romans 12, Romans 13, to pay our taxes, to submit to the federal government.
Absolutely. We, as Christians, are to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. However, in our system, the founders very specifically did not put the church under the taxation power of the state. They gave churches and religious organizations tax exemptions from the very get-go. And the reason for that is because they recognized, as the great Supreme Court Justice John Marshall said in the early 1800s, that the power to tax involves the power to destroy. If you have the power to tax something, then you have control over it. And they did not want the government to have control over the church. The church needs to be able to say to the government, thus saith the Lord. The church needs to be able to stand up to the magistrate and say, you're just wrong on this, and not be penalized for speaking freely.
Martin Luther King Jr. once said that the church is the conscience of the nation. And how terrible things would be if that conscience were to be stilled. Now, here is a comment from Jim Garlow, a pastor who refuses to be silent.
I never thought I'd live long enough to see the abuses of power that we have witnessed in Washington, D.C. And in this area of the Internal Revenue Service, in terms of its abusive treatment of conservatives, the stories are lining up one after another across the nation. This is disturbing. This is a new low. This is something that we would never think would occur in a free society where we have a constitutional republic. This is beyond the pale. And the Mr. Obama and the IRS officials in charge have severely overplayed their hands in what they've done. This is jolting, and every American ought to be extremely concerned about this.
Our founders believed that our republic would work only if the people were virtuous. And how would that be achieved? Through religion. John Adams, for example, said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John, I fear in our day we have forgotten that completely.
I do as well, and that's what this scandal is really all about. It cuts to the very heart of the ability of the church to be the church and to speak with the freedom that the founders wanted the church to be able to speak with. The Obama IRS is directly attacking that, and we need to take a stand against it.
John, thanks for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jerry.
Nothing cuts more against the grain of America's founding principles than government penalties based on viewpoints. Our First Amendment has been envied for centuries around the world by those who could only wish for such freedom. And yet, right here in America, it's crumbling. How have those holding the power in Washington gotten away with this? Two reasons. First, we've been unaware of what's going on behind the scenes because our media fawns over this presidential administration. And second, and even more importantly, it's because we've become confused about what our rights actually are since the First Amendment has been so badly abused by the courts in recent decades. This has to stop. It's essential that we understand what's going on here and how radically opposed it is to our God-given rights that our founding fathers recognized. And we must stand together to say no more. We have put together a petition to Congress calling upon them to fully investigate the IRS scandal. And we want you to join us in making our voices heard. Let's speak so loudly that they can't ignore us anymore. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. Request your petition, fill it out, and return it to us as soon as possible. And if you're able to give a generous donation of any amount when you do, we'll also send you our brand new book, The IRS Exposed, the Obama Administration's Weapon of Choice. This is one of the most shocking abuses of governmental power in American history. And yet, there have been few consequences for those who perpetrated it. You need to read this short, compelling book to see just how far this scandal reaches. We cannot turn a blind eye to this attack on our rights. Once our rights are lost, they're very hard to get back. So contact us for your petition and receive The IRS Exposed with a generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of our ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
Make sure to return your petition to Congress to us right away so that we can make an impact for freedom on Capitol Hill. Also, make sure you visit our website and sign up for daily truth from D. James Kennedy delivered free to your email inbox every day. May God bless you as you do.
And may God bless America.
Today's program is available on DVD or audio CD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. Next week on Kennedy Classics.
God has protected and defended this word throughout all of these many centuries that it might come down to you.
There are at least 32 countries in the world where the Bible is a forbidden book or it's severely restricted.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.